Kay Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
CBS News Special Report. The first federal government shutdown in almost 7 years began at a minute past midnight. Republicans and Democrats are blaming each other after a GOP-backed funding plan failed to pass in the Senate.
Republicans are plunging America into a shutdown.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Majority Leader John Thune.
You know, the only real victim here is the American people. This is so unnecessary.
As many as 750,000 federal workers could be furloughed each day. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
In a shutdown, national parks and museums have to close. Social Security and Veterans Services could be delayed.
TSA agents and federal troops have to report to their jobs anyway, but they won't get paid. Tracy Riley volunteers at a VFW hall in New Orleans.
I believe that we're going to have families thrown into even more harsh poverty levels than the military currently has.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Raising the fares and cutting some routes. Those are some of the options as the transit system in Milwaukee County tries to deal with an over $9 million budget deficit. The shortfall is partially covered by pandemic aid, but that'll run out next year. The 2026 county budget proposal introduced by County Executive David Crawley last night includes eliminating 6 bus routes entirely and cutting frequency on 5 more.
We have to find common ground and make tough decisions so we can deliver services, improve quality of life for our residents, and protect the future of Milwaukee County. I've said it before and I will say it again. I will not ignore fiscal responsibility because, quite frankly, we can't afford to.
Riders could see base fares jump from $2 to $2.75. County Executive Crawley is proposing a $1.4 billion budget for next year. Milwaukee police arrested a driver after a fatal crash with a moped last night. It happened near South 27th and West Parnell. The moped driver died at the scene following the collision at around 9:30. Police say alcohol is not suspected in the incident. The case is now in the hands of the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. The Dodge County Sheriff's Office says an audit led to the arrest of a village clerk and treasurer. Eustisford officials say Kim Hopfinger is accused of stealing a significant amount of money from both the village and the soccer club she managed. After a routine audit raised red flags, Dodge County investigators charged Hopfinger with misconduct in public office and theft over $10,000. The 65-year-old was placed on administrative leave last week and arrested Monday. Village leaders say they're working closely with the DA's office, but not commenting further on the ongoing investigation. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
After further review, hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers coaching staff reviewing the tape of Sunday night's game in Dallas, in which Green Bay kicked a field goal with 1 second left, ending in a tie. Matt LaFleur admits that was poor clock management.
Just looking at the clock, I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be no time left. It's a very humbling experience to go through that. It's unacceptable, quite honestly. And there's nothing we can do about it now other than we better learn from it, everybody.
The Packers have the week off before hosting the Bengals Sunday, October 12th. NBA Bobby Portis says after meeting with Bucks GM John Horst and coach Doc Rivers, he decided to stay in Milwaukee.
Being able to have that open dialogue, open communication with John, open communication with Doc, it's been a great experience for me being here in Milwaukee. Definitely would have been weird going to another franchise, and so I'm happy I'm here.
That's Bucks forward Bobby Portis with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The WAUK Text to Win contest, sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. HorizonsLaw.com.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 60. Tomorrow, sunny, 75. Then on Friday and Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 83 both days. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
The borders are. Tom Homan was investigated for accepting $50,000 from undercover FBI agents.
50 grand in a fast food bag as a payoff. If Kamala Harris would have accepted a fast food bag full of fast food, it would have been congressional hearings, yes. 24 hours on every network that hated them.
It's corruption palooza, man. Yeah.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Then Civic Media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Wednesday morning. It's the first day of October 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison at Studio A2 at Civic Media headquarters at the top of State Street, just one block away from the state capitol. Coming up, we'll meet Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor at Up North News, coming up in just a bit. And then there's some big news coming up on this program 90 minutes from now. So you're going to want to stick around till 8:35, or if you have to step away, come on back, or sign up and get this show as a podcast through Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's all about the 7th Congressional District up north. The 7th Congressional District takes up, like, at least the northern third of the state. Tom Tiffany has represented it for the past couple of years. He's now running for governor. So it is an open seat, and we'll be talking with somebody who's going to shed some light on who the next congressional representative could be up north in the 7th District in just a little bit. Brittany Merlot is off, which is a shame, because we would finally get to introduce Merlot to Bordeaux. That, of course, would be Ellie Bordeaux, wow, the new newsletter editor here at Up North News. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to have you here. We want to learn more about you and more about the newsletter. So having got that hello in there, just stand by for a sec, because I realized I got to pass on the keyword for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you could be winning cash and jewelry as part of a daily prize, and then every entry has you ready to go for the grand prize, which is two club level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota playing a little football game on November 23rd in Green Bay, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the prize package, more than $1,500. So get on that Civic Media app and get set to text us this keyword before 8 a.m. And then there will be other words throughout the course of the day, other chances to enter, starting with Matt and Air on Air during the 9 a.m. hour. But for the 7 a.m. hour, the text to win keyword is cheer. That's C-H-E-E-R. Cheer, C-H-E-E-R. Text that before 8 o'clock for your chance to win the daily prize and be in the running for that grand prize as well. Cheer before the end of the hour, C-H-E-E-R. All right, we've got the housekeeping out of the way. So in talking with Ellie about the newsletter, I guess we'll first start with a little bit about yourself. Coming first off from, you're an Oconomowoc girl, first and foremost.
Yes, I am. I'm born and raised in Oconomowoc. I've lived in Wisconsin my whole life, which I love. I love Wisconsin, so I'm not complaining about that. I went to UW-Madison. I graduated there in 2024 with degrees in journalism and Spanish. While I was at UW-Madison, I was a writer and editor for the Daily Cardinal there, which is the independent student newspaper on campus. And now I'm here. So all good things.
Yeah, all good things. Absolutely. So with the Daily Cardinal, did you have like a particular beat or interest?
Yeah, so I kind of did a little bit of everything. I started out my sophomore year and I went into it completely blind. I had no idea what it meant to be a journalist. I did not know how to write a story. And I remember writing my first story and it just kind of got torn to shreds by my editor, which is fine. It was a learning moment, you know. But my sophomore year, I started as just a staff editor. And then I was the associate news desk editor. So I was in charge of breaking news. So I was in charge of pitching stories to all my writers. If there was breaking news on campus or around Madison, I was in charge of either going and covering it or finding someone to go cover it. And then I did a whole like 180. And my senior year, I was the features desk editor. So I was in charge of longer form, more investigative stories. So I have kind of gotten a whole overview of journalism while I was at the Daily Cardinal, which was a great experience. I kind of got a little taste of everything, so it was great.
All right. And then you mentioned having the, not just the journalism education, but the Spanish as well. Is that something you've been putting to use?
Not as much as I would like to necessarily. Sometimes it's hard to find places to practice it, but I definitely try and use it when I can. I stay on top of my Duolingo, you know, to get some practice where I can.
I just want to know if Sophia Minert has any reason to think that her job is in jeopardy for all of the Spanish language interviews that she does after Brewers games for FanDuel. and by the way, she is, I mean, she's won an Emmy Award.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's a workhorse and does those interviews. And so I can imagine that might be some practice for you if we can get you down to the Brewer dugout and talk to some of the players.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great.
You've been to your share of sporting events already as you've shared your story in some of your first editions of our newsletter, talking about things that you've done with your dad and some of your travels around the state. Mm-hmm. What are some of the favorite memories you've been sharing already?
You know, I I've only ever gone to two Packer games in my life. You know, my first one was last season for my birthday. Me, my dad, and my brother went, which was super fun. And then me and my boyfriend actually went 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, for the whiteout game. And that was really cool. So we kind of just went on like a last minute, like, why not? Let's go. So we ended up going. That was super fun. I've been to a ton of Badger games in my time. I started going to those when I was really little. And that's when I was like, oh, I really want to go to school here, you know? Mm-hmm. And Brewer games too. I've been to my fair share of those. Packer games are a little bit more slim, but
How much jumping have you officially done with the jump around? Could you count the number of times you've jumped?
I'm trying to think the amount. I don't know how many times I've jumped, but I've definitely
burned
some calories there for
sure. Have you actually jumped, or have you just like kind of bounced?
Yeah, do you just bounce on the balls of your feet? Oh, wow. No, okay. You actually jump.
Okay. You got to jump, because I would always get upset when people are just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm like, that's not jumping. You're not jumping around. Come on. You know,
that's like me with the wave, you know, the wave used to be this big new thing. And now if you're with a wave, I kind of lift my hands up and hey. Ellie would yell at us for that. Exactly. We're talking to Ellie Bordeaux, the new newsletter editor with us here at Up North News. And as we get into the things that you've been working on, I mean, you right away started with a special edition last week all about fall in Wisconsin. And, you know, needless to say, as you know from our segments with Sherita Booker on Thursdays, there's no shortage of stuff that you can do. There's no reason to be homebound in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is plenty to do. Our fall guide covers Oktoberfest all around the state. We've got fall festivals. We've got some like spooky, scary spots as Halloween kind of approaches. So we have no shortage of things for you to do. I love hearing responses from all the readers of, hey, this gave me something to do this weekend. Like, I'm going to go check out this fall festival, or I'm going to go to this Oktoberfest and try this pumpkin beer, you know? So there's definitely no shortage of things to do in our fall guide definitely shows that. So
yeah, I mean, a big part of the premise of Up North News, folks go, well, you guys just cover a lot of political news. Well, we do, because we think that is stuff that people need to know about. But by and large, we're just an outlet that celebrates Wisconsin and wants people to get in the car and get all around, get to some new event, some new festival, some new place that you haven't, you know, hiked before or something like that. I know it was a series of newsletter stories that got me thinking that I've got to go see more of these waterfalls around Wisconsin. And so last year, I know we went to go see a couple of those. So as you have started looking at things that may get into the newsletter, have you already started your own little bucket list of things that, like, I haven't gone there yet and I want to get to that?
Definitely. That's something that selfishly has been really nice for me to be able to look into all these things. And now I'm like, oh, I have something to do this weekend. You know, if I have no plans, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go check out this Oktoberfest, or, oh, I'm going to go check out the ginormous pumpkin fest, you know, those kinds of things. So it definitely has helped me find things to do throughout the coming weeks, you know?
Well, and I know that Selena Heller was at the ginormous pumpkin fest in Altoona last weekend and would be more than happy to take you around and, you know, have you see some of the sights over here in the western part of the state. And I was encouraged to note that as you've been making your drives, you have not just like you and Parker, you kids in your rock and roll music, you have shown a willingness to listen to some of the classic stuff, which is a nice way of saying old guy radio. But you've been to some concerts and started up a whole new playlist that kind of defies your generational boundary.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess you could say that. I grew up on that kind of music. My mom is super into that kind of music. My dad is too. My parents, their favorite band is AC/DC. Our dog is named after Angus Young. His name is Angus. So all that kind of stuff. I was definitely born on those and raised on those, that type of music. So it just kind of is what I love, you know? And going to those concerts was so fun. Yeah, it's a great time.
I am sitting here just blown away. You know, yes, but, you know, again, my generation's parents, you know, they were listening to Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And I didn't realize we've come to the generation now where they go, oh yeah, my mom and dad, they listen to AC/DC all the time. Was not expecting to hear that. So that is awesome.
Yeah.
And makes me feel super old at the same time, but you know, that's okay. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I hope we saw you go through the interview process and heard all about some of your ideas and your enthusiasm. So I hope you're looking forward to things so far. Robin Tigerton says, hi, Ellie. You do an excellent job on the newsletter. He also writes, this weekend is Caroline Colorama. It's one of the, it also is one of the largest horse trail rides around. So yeah, we have no shortage of people that want to provide some, you know, insight for giving you ideas for the newsletter. Do you want to let people know how they can reach you?
Yeah. So you can reach me via email, ellie@couriernewsroom.com. Or if you just hit reply to the newsletter, if you sign up on our website, if you just hit reply, I'll get that. I'll see it. I'll respond to you, you know, which is super great. So yeah, it's great to hear responses. I've had so many people reply with, again, things to do in Wisconsin or things that I maybe missed or things that they want to hear more about. And I love hearing those things. So it's a step-by-step process. You know, I'm still trying to kind of get into the swing of things. I'm still pretty new, but hopefully with time, it'll get better and better and you'll see more of what you want to hear, you know?
Oh yeah. It'll definitely click in. So, Ellie is Ellie. That's Ellie at couriernewsroom.com. Courier Newsroom being the parent company of Up North News. So, this has been a lot of fun. I really have appreciated, you stepping into this role and starting to put, some things in there already, not just the feature stories, but obviously we also drop in a little bit from the day's news headlines. For example, we do have a story in today's edition about basically the new backdoor abortion ban that came from the Trump Republican mega bill. And it's the reason why Planned Parenthood is not performing abortion services currently in Wisconsin while that law is being challenged. So you're always going to get up to date on some of the big news stories in the area, but you're also going to get those little pieces like the story today about some special moments from the Brewers season to kind of get you ready for the playoffs. So a well-rounded publication you're putting together there.
Definitely. Yeah. We try and do a little bit of both. You know, I think it's important to have some of the hard news in there of, hey, this is what's going on around you, you know, got to keep up to date, but also we want to keep things positive. We want to keep things light. What are some fun things going on throughout the state, you know, that kind of stuff. So we try and keep it a good mix. So.
Oh, yes, you do. All right. Ellie Bordeaux, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thank you. All right. So there you go. To learn more and to get signed up for what Ellie's putting together, you can stay up to date by heading to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. From the heart of America's up north, here live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
50% of marriages end in divorce. Many of you listening may need our services. I'm Michelle Fitzgerald, founder of Horizons Law Group in Brookfield. Every divorce is different, so we offer a range of options, including flat fee, limited scope, mediation, and traditional divorce services. Don't go it alone. Educate yourself. Call Horizons Law Group, 262-432-3600, or visit horizonslaw.com. Horizons Law Group, where we educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane McNair. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Earth Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. While we're more than 13 months away from the governor's race, which will be decided in November of 2026, we want you to know about who is running for that position. Over the past few weeks, we've talked to some individuals who feel like they are the most qualified for the job, and today we are introducing you to State Senator Kelda Royce. She stopped by Matinair on Air to talk to Jane Matinair and myself and talk about one of the most important points of her campaign, something for all to think about, and that is education.
Well, you made your announcement on our friend and colleague Todd Albaugh's program that you were jumping into the race for governor. So, Senator, for people who may not know much about you, and tell us a little bit about Kelda Royce.
Well, I was born in Marshfield and spent my early years in rural Taylor County, which if you're not familiar, it's north of Highway 29. My family lived in a one-room schoolhouse that my parents remodeled after it was vacant for many years. I now represent the Dane County area in the Wisconsin State Senate, where I serve on the Budget Committee. I also previously served in the State Assembly, where I helped fight against Act 10. I'm an attorney and a small business owner, mom and stepmom of 5, and I was the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin. So I have been in the fight here for Wisconsin alongside all of you and your listeners for 25 years.
It's 25 years, really?
Yeah.
Well, we are living in such divided times, Senator Royce. How do you come in as governor and try and get things done and appeal to everyone? What would be your first priority if you were elected governor, do you think?
Well, my first and only priority is making sure that Wisconsin is a place where every single family, no matter who you are or where you're from, that you have the freedom to thrive. And, you know, certainly it's about making sure people have good paying jobs that don't just pay the bills, but let you actually build the life you want, right? Give your kids the future you want. Making sure we have affordable housing and childcare, that everyone has access to good health care. And reinvesting in our public schools that have really gotten shortchanged over the last generation. So those are key priorities. And I think, you know, there's so much emphasis on the things that divide us. And that's a really cynical thing that I think the right wing has done with our politics. But when you actually listen to people and you travel all over the state, as I have, right, you know, for more than 20 years, mm-hmm, you find that we've got a lot in common. People really do want the same things. And the policies that I'm supporting are not controversial. They are supported by the vast majority of Wisconsinites. They want someone who can get it done.
Well, and I think, and we've talked about this a lot, especially when it comes to public schools, most people love their own public school. There is this perception it's that other public school that's the problem. But I like my kids' teachers. I like my kids, mm-hmm, you know. And so I do think that there's wide support for public schools if it's in your own backyard.
You're absolutely right. You know, and the reality is that the vast majority of kids in the state go to public school, and it shouldn't matter how wealthy your parents are, you know, what kind of neighborhood you could afford to live in, you know, how rural your community is. You deserve a great public school. And we need to focus not just on making sure that teachers have the resources they need and schools do too, but also that our kids are equipped to thrive. So it's not just more money, but it's actually better schools for our kids.
It's really disturbing to me. And I want to say this goes back at least 20 years that we expect teachers to pay out of their own pocket for school supplies. When, mm-hmm, did this become so normalized that we just don't have the money to give paper and rulers to our kids?
Right. You know, and I think about every August, I'm always in a mad dash to get school supplies for my kids. And, you know, I try to get as many things off those teacher wish lists as possible. I send my kids with extra supplies because I know there are families out there that can't, you know, that will really break the bank for them. And the reality is, this is why I've been such a champion for healthy school meals for all. Right? Because every kid will do better and learn better, yes, if they have good, nutritious, healthy food, that a lot of it can come right from our own farmers here in Wisconsin. This is a win-win. And think about the burden that that takes off of working parents, right? Even if you can afford all the grocery cost, you know, trying to get your kids fed is really important. And school supplies is one piece of that. But we don't expect firefighters or police officers to spend thousands of dollars on their training, you know, to go to extra schooling, you know, to buy all their own supplies, to, you know, chip in for the fire engine.
Right.
And yet we somehow have normalized this with teachers. And when we see now ICE agents being recruited, people that have been rejected from police forces all over the country, people that are not qualified to be in the military, and they're being offered six-figure salaries and massive bonuses. Oof, that's, yeah, a kick in the gut to the teachers.
Absolutely. And I want to take the education component and attach it to something bigger. And I want to reference something that when you came to our show a couple months ago speaking about the Wisconsin state budget and the news had come out, Senate, your colleague, Senator Hesselbein, got in the room, talked to Republicans, Governor Evers signed it. It seemed like we're like, oh, here we go. And you came on our show and you're like, no. And I was like, oh, no, what happened? And really, I want to thank you and also Representative Hong for being so vocal. And there were others, too. But the two of you being so vocal on what you did not like about this budget. It passed. It needed to pass. We didn't want to go back to old spending. But I guess the question I have for you is your non-support of this budget. What are you going to do in the governor's office when you get your mind around the budget as far as being governor? How are you going to fight for the things that you feel we all as Wisconsinites need in the next biennium? If you want to hear that answer from State Senator Kelda Royce, you want to stay tuned, stick around, stay close, be here. Don't go anywhere, because she answers that question on what she would do with the next biennium budget and how it would work for all of us here in Wisconsin. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on coming out of Civic Media, you're going to sign up for Civic Media Today, which is our brand new newsletter. It's free and gets delivered to you daily. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com and sign up today. Stick around because at 8:35, Pat welcomes a guest who will be making breaking news about a new candidate in the 7th Congressional District, and you want to stay tuned for this one. Stay close. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Green Career Week is just around the corner, and organizers hope it plants the seeds for a new generation of horticulture professionals. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you from the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll talk about this nationwide event after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Jasmine Alboron is the executive director of Seed Your Future, the group behind the nationwide Green Career Week, running October 6th through the 10th. The goal? To spark student interest in the multi-billion dollar world of horticulture. She tells us how you can get involved.
We are encouraging teachers, parents, educators, anyone that works with students to get them connected to a local horticulture business. So independent garden center, a florist, a breeder, a nursery, greenhouse, you name it. There are businesses right in the middle of urban settings, rural settings. They're everywhere. We just don't know, right? So Seed Your Future, if you reach out to us, we can help you get connected to a business that's in your area. You can set up field trips, go to these businesses and get to know them as employers. What are the different roles that they have and offer for students, for college students?
She says horticulture is a field that stretches from turf management to landscape design, even graphic design. Jasmine Alboron, along with us, who says Green Career Week is a chance for students of all backgrounds to connect with a career path that they may not have considered. More agribusiness news coming your way next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The road to Madison has meant bringing home first place honors for a few individuals. Wisconsin has been competitive this week, taking home second place in the 103rd National 4-H Dairy Cattle Judging Contest. UW-Madison finished in the top five in the 104th National Intercollegiate Dairy Cattle Judging Contest at World Dairy Expo. Congratulations again to the Wisconsin 4-H Dairy Judging Team and the UW-Madison Dairy Cattle Judging Team. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The 540 WAUK Text to Win contest is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 60. Tomorrow, sunny, 75. Then on Friday and Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 83 both days. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Matinee on Air.
We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matinee on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back, live from the lake here in Chippewa Falls. It is 7:35, which means that you have less than 25 minutes to text us the word cheer in the Go for the Green and Gold text to win contest. Use that Civic Media app, find the text button, and text the word cheer, C-H-E-E-R, before 8 a.m. for your chance at a daily prize of $200 cash and a gold-plated chain, see green and gold. And also, every entry puts you in the running for that grand prize of tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a little football game with some great indoor seats in Green Bay for a game next month. Again, cheer, and then you'll have another chance to win starting at 9 a.m. for Matinee on Air. I mentioned Green Bay and Minnesota playing football as part of this. There's also going to be some Wisconsin Badger football to talk about for later this week. The Badgers were off last weekend. This weekend, they are taking on Michigan. Coverage begins at 9 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Also wanted to let you know through Civic Media, you know, because we talked to Ellie Bordeaux just a bit ago about Up North News and its newsletters and your updates there. But Civic Media also has ways that you can get local news with a statewide reach. All you got to do is go to civicmedia.us and then click on one of the many stations that are there, your local station preferably. And up near the top of each station's homepage, you'll see a daily news roundup, and you can listen to it right there. Folks from the Civic Media news team record those daily. You can also sign up for email versions of their daily news updates while you're there. Again, that's at civicmedia.us to go learn more. All right, time for a little homeroom action here, where we talk about public education on Wednesday mornings around this time and some of the opportunities, some of the threats that are out there as well. You'll recall that last week we visited with State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. And one of the things that we touched on briefly was the notion of all of these federal budget cuts coming from the Trump administration for the crazy idea that anything associated with what is known as DEI must be bad and has to be cut. Now, never mind that from a race-based standpoint, that's racist on its face. And of course, they've got the cojones to claim that diversity, equity, and inclusion is itself racist because, you know, white people are such victims. But it's the way that they have stretched the definition of DEI that is, I mean, it would be funny if it weren't so harmful. And the one we talked about last week that is still a concern out there deals with the 100 or so Wisconsin families that could soon be losing access to services that aid deaf-blind students. And that's because of cuts by the U.S. Department of Education. So the DPI, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, has said there will not be federal grant funding available for the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Project. The current Trump administration says that they're reevaluating everything, and that according to an administration spokesperson, grants like these to deafblind students, okay, many of these grants, according to a statement, use overt race preferences or perpetuate divisive concepts and stereotypes, which no student should be exposed to. The non-continued grant funds are not being cut. They are being reinvested immediately into high-quality programs that better serve special needs students. Well, never mind the last part of that, which is just blatantly wrong and false. But this whole notion of that money that goes to deafblind education, according to this statement, perpetuates divisive concepts and stereotypes. Being deaf and or blind is not a stereotype. It's not a divisive concept, all right? It's a need that helps people learn and get access to assistive technology and transition services. There's nothing luxurious about this, about the programs that are provided through the Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. And of course, the Department of Public Instruction is, you know, trying to stay on top of the Trump administration and make the case that these grants should be restored. But at the moment, in the name of being anti-woke, these families are scrambling. Imagine if that's your child, and how do they get an education otherwise? Well, of course, that's only one example from Cleo Krejci in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from yesterday. Citing concerns over diversity, equity, and inclusion, the U.S. Department of Education has eliminated about $8 million in grant funding earmarked for special education teacher programming in Wisconsin K-12 schools. So apparently, training special education teachers is divisive or somehow racist. The Department of Education reviewed all grants like this and said that, you know, there were problematic words in some of these grant applications. For example, that special education coaches would be trained with an equity mindset. There apparently was also language in another grant application that said that that there will be a discussion of the impact of white supremacy and the history of whiteness on systems and work to disrupt and dismantle its effects and facilitate action planning to build a more equitable system of education in its place. The Trump administration says that doing that is itself discriminatory, and the Trump administration has argued that the concept of systemic racism does not exist. Okay, let's go back on this. Again, the problem there, they saw that there was a mention there about white supremacy, the history of whiteness on systems. Just try and tell me that in the past, there weren't examples where two children needed special education services. One was white, one was not. And there were only enough resources to take care of one of the students. Which one do you think got it? And if you go, oh, it must have been the, you know, the non-white kid, you're not paying attention. Because for generations in this country, it was overt racism that prevented everybody's tax dollars from going to places where they are needed most. When people say, well, I don't believe in systemic racism, I don't believe in institutional racism, because you're calling me racist. Nobody's calling a person racist. But you look at education, you look at healthcare, you look at our judicial system, and you look at the difference in outcomes still to this day. It's not necessarily that there are overt racists in there, but there are things in the system that continue to work against people who are not white. And as you look into these systems and say, okay, how can we make things different? How can we make sure that that white child in need of special education and that black child in need of special education and that Hispanic child in need of special education all have access to good and well-trained teachers? That apparently looking into that and how to make things more fair to all three of those little angels is somehow divisive and racist. It's not. It's these cuts themselves that are. And I've never had a problem saying that. This is a guy who said he was going to get rid of, you know, the illegal terrorists on the streets and instead is rounding up all kinds of hardworking people for the crime of wanting to come to this country and build a better life the way that many of our great grandparents did. And rather than fix the system so that they're not undocumented, you choose to blow up fixing the system You make a conscious choice to avoid fixing the system, and you make a conscious choice to just round up brown people. Don't be surprised when you get called out on that, because it is exactly what it looks like. You're not making America safer. You're not making America great again. You're making things worse. You're making things more expensive. You're exacerbating the labor shortage. And now you're not even helping students who are deaf and blind or in need of special education services because of your rage about taking out your frustrations on people who aren't white because you feel some sort of white victimness, which is just one of the oldest, most frustrating things out there in America today. My goodness, it just gets to me. The people who think that they are somehow at a disadvantage because of this day and age, when we actually try to treat people more fairly, whatever their background. But that's what we have. And that's why our schools right now are fighting so hard to get grants restored that we're making things better. But apparently now, if you're deaf, blind, or want to be a special education teacher, too bad. You don't get that. There's a new candidate for Wisconsin State Supreme Court to tell you about. The announcement came out early this morning. I will quote from Mary Spacuzza's story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that says, State Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar is getting into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. She will be the conservative candidate in the race rather than Justice Rebecca Bradley, who announced recently that she is not going to seek re-election. So it's quite likely that Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar will face Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, a former Democratic state lawmaker who is already in the race for state Supreme Court justice. So at the moment, if no other candidates get in, it will be a classic progressive versus conservative campaign, the way that most of the recent state Supreme Court races have been. And keep in mind, progressives have won 4 out of the last 5 state Supreme Court races. And progressives have won something like 15 out of the last 18 statewide elections. Because Wisconsin is much more of a 50-50 state, or if anything, lean progressive, than it is a conservative state. It has large majorities of Republicans in the legislature and the Congress only because they rigged the maps more than a decade ago. But this appeals court judge, Maria Lazar, is running now. She is a former assistant state attorney general under Scott Walker, who defended the state in lawsuits against Act 10. In a statement, she said, "We need to draw a line in the sand and stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court." Those are her words. To stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court. It is quite clear that from her past record and her campaign donors that she, in winning a seat for the Court of Appeals, had support from all manner of conservative and Republican groups, including Wisconsin Right to Life and Pro-Life Wisconsin, which argue for total abortion bans with no exceptions for rape and incest frequently. This is a state Supreme Court that, when it was in conservative hands, was against women's reproductive health rights. It was for gerrymandering the maps. It was for power grabs that were done by Republican legislators against Tony Evers and Josh Call, the attorney general. And most chilling of all, that there were conservative justices who wanted to go along with Donald Trump's efforts to potentially overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin. Maria Lazar is of that same mold, will have big-time right-wing donors in her race for state Supreme Court against Chris Taylor. Again, that race is in April of next year. If one more candidate gets in, if there are 3 or more candidates, there will be a primary, a nonpartisan primary in February. But regardless, a general election for a state Supreme Court race come April. Coming up in our next hour, some big news about the 7th Congressional District and who wants to run for it next year. Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota. Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by attorney Michelle Fitzgerald at Horizons Law Group. Getting divorced or need divorce coaching? See horizonslaw.com.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at.
This is Donald Driver. Listen up. You'll never know who you'll see.
With 17 pro courts, there's no waiting around. Court times that fit your schedule, plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screens. Or catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow Pickleball Kingdom on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I am back, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earlier, I played for you a selection from our interview with State Senator Kel DeRoys on Matt and Aaron Air, talking about her bid for governor, which we're all going to the polls for next November, 13 months away. But we have to stay informed. And we were talking about all sorts of things, and I want to get right back into it with an answer she gave us regarding the current budget that we passed that she was not happy about, but also what she would do next time if she were in the big chair.
Well, for me, it's really about what are our priorities, and the budget is where you show that. And I will say, you know, we've got a lot of good Democrats thinking about running for governor, but I'm the only one that has served on the Finance Committee, and knowledge of that state budget is incredibly important for our next governor, because we're going to have a really short window of time in which to make real change and actually invest in our kids. So for me, it really is looking at the fact that our kids have not gotten an inflationary increase in their schools in a generation, in 15 years. They're still not recovered from the deep and devastating cuts that Scott Walker made. Yep. And, you know, the other piece of it is we are shoveling billions of dollars of our taxpayer money to private, unaccountable voucher schemes. You know, and private education is fine, but taxpayers shouldn't be footing the bill. And the vast majority of families that are taking advantage of those vouchers are people whose kids were already in private school.
Yep.
The parents were paying, yep, and now the taxpayers are putting the bill for wealthy people who want to send their kids often to religious schools. And I think, you know, that offends a lot of Wisconsinites, because we know that every kid deserves a great public school, but we can't continue to fund two school systems, especially when we've been shortchanging our public school kids.
There is a tracker.
I will get it in the show notes. It's a tracker from the Wisconsin Education Action Network. But what they do is they allow you to drop down into your specific school district and find out how much of your tax dollars are being siphoned. And I'm using that word siphoned deliberately into the voucher program. And another thing too, State Senator, it's not only people who children are already in those schools, but it's also to families who can certainly afford those schools too. So they're getting free education.
Well, and the piece that blows my mind the most is that there is no oversight body for these schools. They don't have to report to a higher standard. There's no one overseeing their graduation rates, their mm-hmm. curriculum rates. They don't have to do the same kind of reporting that public schools do. And yet we're giving them taxpayer money. I don't understand.
And they don't have to follow the same laws either. Right. I mean, you know, these private schools, they can discriminate against students.
Against anybody.
Can you imagine? Against teachers in the employment context, and their teachers don't have to have the same kinds of licensure and educational requirements. Mm-hmm. And so... You know, again, I think parents can make whatever choice they want to, but the idea that taxpayers should simply foot the bill for wealthy families to send their kids to private school just doesn't pass the smell test.
This has been tried in numerous other states. I want to say Arkansas jumped in big on school vouchers. I believe Arkansas has also done the same. And there have been reports about this, specifically about the number of people who, as you pointed out, Senator, can afford private schools, already had their kids in private schools. They were paying for it. The vast majority of these people are the ones who are getting the benefits, who don't need them.
Right. And I think about the fact that all of us want our kids to have a great education. I mean, we want our kids to have more opportunities than we did. It starts with our public schools, and our kids deserve that investment.
And I think something going back to what you said, Jane, too, people, you know, the people love their public schools. They love them so much that they vote to raise their own property taxes for them. Right. And I've said this before, and I will continue to say this. I do not have children. I do not have a direct stake in my public school system in Kenosha. But I voted to raise my taxes because I understand the effect, impact, and the long-term investment of having good schools in your community and how it comes back to benefit you as a taxpayer. So I voted yes. It did not go through because I think, honestly, some taxpayers are saying, why do I have to keep doing this? And it's, as both of you were saying, is because it's been systematically choked out and suffocated by one side of the aisle, who, by the way, and I always say this to Robin Voss, if you're listening, the greatest increase in a generation doesn't mean anything to me when you barely gave them any money in the first place. When you give them 10 bucks one year and you give them 15, that's not worth bragging about. And that's what you did to education, including 0K-12 increases. So, sorry, I'm going to take a moment.
They dug a 10-foot hole. They threw 3-4 feet of dirt in and gave themselves a pat on the back.
Exactly.
Give them a break.
Yep.
Well, right? Let's be honest about what's happening. And the property tax thing is real. These divisive cycles of referendums and forcing school districts and frankly our local governments mm-hmm. to go to taxpayers and say, please raise your own taxes. That is really unfair. And it pits neighbor against neighbor because property taxes are too high in the state because of Republican policies. Republican politicians have hoarded billions of dollars at the state level. They have left revenue on the table by keeping cannabis illegal. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, other states have legalized it. They have shoveled our tax dollars to vouchers and to big corporations and the wealthy, and are shortchanging our kids and forcing you, property taxpayers and homeowners and renters, to foot the bill. And it's just not okay.
Well, and I think the biggest example, at least for me, on how the government has not been adequately funding municipalities, the city of Brookfield had to do this, people. The city of Brookfield had to bring a referendum. Brookfield is a pretty wealthy community. And even they were like, yeah, we don't have enough money. This has been a problem.
It was so great talking to State Senator Kelda Royce about her bid for Wisconsin governor that I'm going to play for you one more selection because this was a great discussion on Matt and Air on Air. And if you want to listen to the entire thing, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Find Matt and Air on Air and look for the episode entitled The Trail Ahead, State Senator Kelda Royce. There you can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. As a reminder, at 8:35, Pat welcomes a guest who will be breaking some news about a new candidate in the 7th Congressional District up north. So don't go anywhere. Stay close. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I will talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Special Report. Vice President Vance has just weighed in on CBS Mornings on the government shutdown that began at midnight.
There's going to be some pain, and there's necessarily going to be some pain because Senate Democrats refuse to reopen the government. We hope that they'll change their minds.
Both sides are sharply divided over spending priorities. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We need to stop these premiums from going up dramatically. We need to do it now. Not in October when people get the notices, not in November when they have to decide whether to drop health care or reduce the health care they get.
By one estimate, up to 750,000 workers could be furloughed every day of the shutdown with no pay. Brian Green heads the Houston Food Bank. He anticipates an onslaught of laid off employees.
We'll do the best with what we have, but if it starts to get to the point later in November when the benefits are also not coming in, it will be overwhelming.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.